Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from George Grow, Brian Lin, Anna Mateo, and Katie Weaver. And Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today. But first, here is George Grow.
President Barack Obama has lifted the 50-year-old limit on the sales of military weapons to Vietnam. The announcement of the decision was made by Vietnamese President Tran Đại Quang Monday at a joint news conference with Obama in Hanoi, following a meeting between the two leaders. Quan also said the two countries have agreed to strengthen their partnership. He said their militaries will cooperate and there will be an increase in trade, health care, and visits by citizens of each country. He called Obama's decision an end to a painful chapter. Obama said the weapons sales will need to still meet strict requirements, including those on human rights, but this change ensures Vietnam has access to equipment it needs to defend itself. Obama noted that the United States and Vietnam have both fought and cooperated during the past century. He said the two countries have had diplomatic relations for the past 20 years, and the relationship has reached a new moment. Obama told reporters that the decision was not made because of China's increased aggression in the area. He said it was made because both countries want to complete a long process that many veterans of the Vietnam War began many years ago. He noted that one of the veterans was a former prisoner of war, Republican Senator John McCain. Hua Chunying is a spokeswoman for China's foreign ministry. She said, "As a close neighbor to Vietnam, we welcome a normal and cooperative relationship between Vietnam and other countries, and we certainly hope such development of bilateral relations is conducive to regional peace and security." She said the arms embargo is the product of the Cold War. It should not have existed. We hope for a normal relationship between the U.S. and Vietnam. But on Sunday, China's official news agency said the calculating move will serve only Washington's own strategic purposes, as the United States seeks a rebalance in the Asia-Pacific. Obama noted that the U.S. and Vietnam still do not agree on many human rights issues, and he said each weapons sale will be reviewed before it can take place. But he said it is right to end the ban because of an increased level of trust and dialogue between the militaries of the two countries. He said more American ships may enter Vietnam's ports at the invitation of the government. Phil Robertson is the Deputy Director and Asia Director of Human Rights Watch. The group strongly disagrees with Obama's decision to end the weapons ban. Robertson said, as Obama was lifting the U.S. arms embargo, the Vietnam authorities were busy arresting journalist Duan Chan and other human rights activists and bloggers on the street and in their houses. In one fell swoop, President Obama has jettisoned what remained of U.S. leverage to improve human rights in Vietnam, and basically gotten nothing for it. I'm George Grow.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. A team of researchers say they have developed a new test for Zika virus. They say the test can provide results quickly and costs less than other testing methods. It can also be easily transported, giving healthcare workers a way to diagnose the virus almost anywhere in the world. The Zika outbreak started about a year ago when health officials in Brazil began reporting cases of people being infected. Now, nearly 60 countries and territories have reported Zika cases. Most of those infected are thought to have been bitten by mosquitoes. The insects can carry the Zika virus. Some countries also have reported cases that appear to have spread through sexual contact. The World Health Organization says scientists agree that Zika is the cause of two serious conditions, the nervous system disorder, Guillain-Barré syndrome, and the birth defect, microcephaly. Babies with the birth defect have an unusually small head. Children with severe microcephaly usually do not live long. Most of the affected countries are in Latin America and the Caribbean. The WHO says the world could face a severe public health crisis if the virus continues spreading. The new test is the result of work by researchers at Harvard University in the United States. The researchers built upon earlier work on a method to test for Ebola virus. James Collins is a synthetic biologist. He led the team that created a way to test body fluids for Zika virus. The test is designed for blood, urine, and saliva. But why develop a new method in the first place? The researchers explained their reasoning in a report in the journal Cell. In it, they said that other test methods are limited. Most importantly, they say, these methods are not exact. The other tests look for antibodies in body fluids. But these antibodies are similar to other viruses, such as dengue. The researchers add that the other methods can also be costly, and they require special equipment that is not available in some areas. The new testing method uses paper cards about the size of a human hand. The cards contain freeze-dried biomolecular components. The freeze-dried part is important. The report says the components remain stable at room temperature, allowing for easy storage and distribution in global settings. In other words, they do not break down under normal conditions and can be stored almost anywhere. Only small amounts of the Zika virus can be found in blood. So the researchers first make the blood sample appear larger through a process that causes the virus to reproduce. The larger sample is then put on the paper card. If Zika is present, the card changes color. Test results from an infected person can then be compared to another card to identify which form of the Zika virus is present. The new test can produce a result in as little as 30 minutes. An even faster result is possible, the researchers say, by placing the card in a special reader. The change in color can be easily recognized without special equipment. The researchers add that this method costs less than other tests for Zika. James Collins says that his team is currently looking for private and public money to make this test available to health workers around the world. There is no vaccine for Zika. The World Health Organization says developers in the U.S. and four other countries are working on 23 different projects to develop one. WHO officials expect some of those projects to be ready for testing by the end of the year. However, a fully tested vaccine may not be available for several years. Until a vaccine is developed, efforts to stop the spread of Zika are directed at controlling the insects that carry it. The WHO says half of the world's population lives in areas where Zika-carrying mosquitoes live. I'm Ana Mateo.
Three people died over the weekend climbing Mount Everest, and two others are missing. A 43-year-old Indian climber died as he was helped down the summit, or peak of the mountain, said Wangshu Sherpa of Trekking Camp Nepal on Monday. Two others died on Mount Everest within hours of each other this weekend. The first was Dutch citizen Eric Arnold, 35, followed by Australian Maria Stratum, 34. All the climbers reportedly died from altitude-related sickness or a lack of oxygen. The area near Mount Everest's summit has been called a death zone because the air is so thin many people cannot survive without oxygen from a can. Two other Indian climbers, Paresh Nat and Gautam Ghosh, have been missing since Saturday. Wangshu Sherpa said it is not likely they could survive Mount Everest's extreme weather conditions. The latest tragedies continue safety concerns about companies that assist climbers on Mount Everest. The head of the nonprofit Nepal Mountaineering Association, Anshering Sherpa, said some companies offer cheap packages to get business, but they use poor equipment. Climbers with well-managed companies employing experienced guides are safe, he said. Many people are trying to reach the summit at the same time, he said. Some climbers are delayed going up or coming down. This puts those climbers at more risk for sickness and death. This was a man-made disaster that may have been minimalized with the better management of the teams, he said. The last two disasters on Everest were caused by nature, but not this one. Chering referred to last year's earthquake and avalanche on Mount Everest that buried at least 19 people at a base camp. The other came in 2014, when 16 guides were killed while crossing a difficult part of the mountains. Both disasters halted climbing on Mount Everest for 2 years and raised concerns about the stability of mountain trails. But just last week, officials were upbeat about the rest of the climbing season after more than 200 people reached the summit in the previous 10 days. The base camp was busy with climbers preparing for trips before monsoon rains in June. The return of climbers to Mount Everest after 2 years has been good for the tourism economy in Nepal. Climbers pay for many services to help them reach the summit. They hire Sherpa mountain guides, cooks, porters, and medical teams. They also pay for official permission or permits to hike. These expenses bring in millions of dollars for Nepal. Now Nepal tourism officials will have to reevaluate the climbing season as they wait and see how the latest deaths on Mount Everest affect future business. I'm Brian Lynn.
Health experts say there is evidence that many white women in the United States are dying too soon. In other words, they are dying before the average age of death in society as a whole. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center for Health Statistics studied death rates nationwide. The center found that life expectancy rates for every population group has either gone up or stayed unchanged. Every group, that is, except one, white women. For them, life expectancy has gone down. The decrease is not big. The mortality rate for white women in 2013 was 81.2 years. In 2014, the rate for that same group was 81.1 years. That is a decrease of 0.1 percentage point. Yet healthcare researchers are concerned. Jaron St. Onge is one of them. He is with the University of Kansas. He told VOA that he expected life expectancy rates to go up. He uses the term flatline, which means to stay the same.
As things get better, in a sense, as life gets easier, our jobs become less dangerous, we would expect that life expectancy continues to go up. When you see life expectancy all of a sudden flatline or not increasing, especially as we continue to decline in our smoking rates, it's cause for alarm.
The other issue is that if life expectancy rates for white women continue to decrease, it could produce an even wider gap between them and other groups in society. Both blacks and Hispanics are experiencing rising life expectancy rates. The rate for white men is unchanged. St. Onge says the increase in premature deaths among white women is largely an issue in rural areas and small communities in southern states. Those places, he says, are seeing an increase in mental health problems, alcohol abuse, and drug dependency. The word he uses instead of increase is uptick.
We need to back up a little more and say, well, what are the reasons why we're seeing these upticks in substance abuse? Is it a response to lack of, you know, mental health services, or is it a lack of economic opportunities or educational opportunities?
Among white women in the U.S., there has been a very small increase in suicides. However, most premature deaths are connected to health problems like heart disease and liver failure. John O'Neill is director of addiction services at the Menninger Clinic in Houston, Texas. He thinks drug and alcohol abuse could be the problem.
We know that people that struggle with substance use are going to have more medical problems. We know that there's more motor vehicle accidents. We know that there's more crime. There's more domestic violence. There's more sexual assault.
Many small American cities and towns have medical centers or hospitals to treat physical problems or sick patients. However, they may lack mental health or drug abuse programs. O'Neill says researchers should study how social and economic issues, what he calls psychosocial stressors, affect people. These stressors can include a weak economy, unemployment, the breakup of families, and the effects of returning military veterans who may have mental or physical problems. He adds that some people may turn to drugs or alcohol to deal with life.
When we have a number of psychosocial stressors, whether it's family members who are fighting for our country, or loss of job, loss of a relationship, financial problems, we do know those are stressors that lead people to look for new ways to manage their emotions, new ways to cope.
He notes that alcohol is easy to get in most communities. Drugs are too. In March, President Barack Obama launched a program that would provide more than $90 million to community health centers for treatment of drug abuse. News media attention to the problem of opioid painkiller addiction has also helped to warn Americans of the risks involved in taking such medications. It has also led to discussions in the medical community about other possible treatments for pain. O'Neill says different forms of addiction treatment have proven successful, but he adds having support in the community is very important. He suggests that at least some of the money currently used to fight the illegal drug trade might be better used helping people stop using drugs that often end up killing them. I'm Ana Mateo.
This is What's Trending Today. Since Facebook Live became a part of Facebook earlier this spring, some people and broadcasters have been making videos. There are many live videos each day. Back in April, the website BuzzFeed produced a live Facebook video showing two employees trying to see how many rubber bands they could put on a watermelon before it exploded. That video had about 800,000 viewers at its live peak. Once a video ends, it stays on the Facebook user's page. Until recently, the watermelon video was the all-time leader in Facebook Live views with about 10 million. That is until 37-year-old Candace Payne of Texas posted a video last week from the front seat of her car. By Monday, it had over 135 million views. Payne is unwrapping a box that says Star Wars, but she is hiding the rest from the camera. She is laughing and giggling. She can barely get the words out. What could it be that has her so excited? It turns out to be a Chewbacca mask from the Star Wars movies. Chewbacca is a Wookiee who is the partner of Han Solo, the pilot of the Millennium Falcon spaceship. He is tall and furry like a dog. Chewbacca does not talk. He just makes different kinds of noises. The noise he makes is somewhere between a roar and a moan. The Chewbacca mask is not just any mask. It is a special mask that roars when the person wearing it moves her mouth. Payne tries it on and makes Chewbacca noises with the mask. She is having so much fun. She cannot stop laughing. She says, "Oh, I'm such a happy Chewbacca," and keeps laughing. The video lasts just over 4 minutes. She ends by saying, "That is the best birthday present ever to myself. Wow!" Apparently, the mask is now sold out at most stores because of the video's popularity. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Dan Friedel.
British singer Adele won the big prize as Emotion won the big night at the 2016 Billboard Music Awards show on Sunday.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over
The performances included a return to the stage by Celine Dion. She has been privately mourning her husband, René Angélil, and her brother, Daniel Dion. Both died in January of this year. Sunday night was her first television appearance since the loss. The crowd at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas lovingly welcomed Celine Dion. She sang the Queen song, "The Show Must Go On." Later, she told People magazine that the song was her husband's favorite. Dion was honored with the Billboard Icon Award at the ceremony. She was brought to tears when her son was the surprise presenter of the award. Dion apologized for crying and thanked her many fans for their support through good times and bad. She dedicated the award to her husband, who she said will continue to watch over me from up above.
I never meant to call you in your sorrow. I never meant to call you in your pain.
Madonna and Stevie Wonder honored the artist Prince, who died last month. Madonna sang "Nothing Compares to You," a Prince song that Sinead O'Connor recorded in 1990. Images of Prince played on a huge screen above the stage. Wonder joined Madonna on stage to sing "Purple Rain." The crowd joined in and waved their arms. Many wore lighted purple wristbands, creating a colorful glow in the arena. The audience seemed happy with the performance, but social media posts were fiercely critical. @RealityWivesTV posted, "The Prince tribute was completely disrespectful. Madonna cannot sing. There's no word in any language to convey my disgust." The media company BET reacted as well. It plans its own Prince tribute in June. It tweeted, "Yeah, we saw that. Don't worry, we got you." Many Twitter posters supported the BET message. But the company might be in for some sharp observation in June. Twitter user Jimmy Jam retweeted the BET message and said he loved it. But he also said, "The pressure is on now." April of Reign of April posted a similar message. She tweeted that BET better come fully correct in its tribute. "They put themselves out there by raising the bar," she wrote. Along with a controversial show, Billboard also presented some artists with honors. Adele won the biggest prize, the Billboard Top Artist Award. She also won Top Female Artist. Adele could not attend the awards show, but sent a video recording of her acceptance speech. The Weeknd won more Billboard awards than any other artist. He took home 8 trophies, including Top Hot 100 Artist and Top R&B Artist. All alone she was living in a world without an end or beginning. Baby girl was living life for the feeling. But I don't mind, I don't mind. Justin Bieber won Top Male Artist. The Top New Artist went to Fetty Wap. And boy band One Direction was named Top Group. I'm Katie Weaver. I don't mind, and I
know. And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.